Well, good morning to you all, both here or listening in at home. It's wonderful to share in today's service of praising God, hearing from his word, and praying together to the one who created us all, as well as the whole earth and everything in it. My name's Diane, and I'll be leading the service today. And we have the music team. We have Adele on keyboard, and Rosemary and Tina singing. We'll have Kay doing our Bible reading today, and Rosemary doing the prayers. In February, we're focusing on, as our mission focus, SRE and Anglican school chaplains. At the end of the pews, you'll find there are some envelopes. If you feel moved to donate to those causes, we have an offertory box at the back of the church. You can just place those in there at the end of the time. A very special welcome return to David Anthony's and his wife, Michelle. Thank you for coming. And he joins us again this week to teach us from God's Word. Would you be able to share a brief introduction to this week's sermon focus, please, David?
Great. Thanks, Diane. Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be back with you. And in fact, you're going to join me for the next 2 weeks. So strap in. We're going on a journey. The journey we're looking at is God's celebrating God's good creation with Psalm 8. But then next week, Genesis 3, ignoring our Creator. And so today, I'm really wanting to us to learn how to read a psalm. So I'm going to share that with you, how I go about reading a psalm, but also as we learn, also that we can all add to that picture because it's poetry. And so, but we'll get to that in the sermon. So that's coming up. If you came in, you might have seen this little card. It's got a lovely picture of me on it, but it's just a little bit about me and how you can pray for me. But also, it talks about how you can help. One of the things is pray. The other thing is volunteering. And we're hoping to start up volunteering back at the hospital where people can come in and do pastoral care and work alongside me. And to do that, what I'd really love people to do is do the introduction to pastoral care course, which I think has been advertised, hasn't it? So if you're interested in that, come and have a chat to me and possibly you're doing volunteering. And that pastoral care course is not just for volunteering at the hospital, but it's for work in churches as well. So it's a great course. I recommend it to you. So the thing I want you to do today when you hear the psalm being read is to listen and listen for what things resonate with you and what things don't, what is disjunctive to you when you read that psalm. And we're going to explore that psalm a bit later on. So thanks, Diane.
Thanks, David.
Thanks, everyone.
Okay, well, we're going to start today with our first song, reminding God of just how we are in awe of his greatness. So please stand and join us with the first song.
Oh, Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great. How great is our
Before the children head out to kids' church, let's pray together for them. Dear Lord God, we thank you for the children you bring to us on Sundays. We pray that they will really come to know just how great you are. We thank you for those who teach them and ask that you will guide their teaching, their conversations with the young people, and that your Holy Spirit will lead them to teach your word truthfully and be an encouragement to the children and each other. Amen. Hey, kids might like to head out. And while they're doing that, you might like to just turn around, and if you haven't caught up with someone this morning yet, give them a bit of a wave, and then at morning tea later you can catch up for a bit longer. Okay, let's praise God in prayer. Gracious God, we humbly thank you for all your gifts so freely given to us, for life and health and safety, for power to work, leisure to rest, and for all that is beautiful in creation and human life. But above all, we praise you for our Saviour Jesus Christ, for his death and resurrection, for the gift of your Spirit, and for the hope of sharing in your glory. Fill our hearts with all joy and peace in believing, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Open our hearts to receive your word, that we may know you better and be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, Kay is going to read us today's passage, but just note it's not the version that we have in our Bibles on the pews. But you should have received a copy of the words in your news and notes. So if you want to follow on there, or it will be on the screen. Thanks, Kay.
Good morning, everybody. The reading's from Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him. You made him a little lower than the heavenly things and crowned him with glory and honour. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Kay, for that reading. Good morning again. I've put this in the wrong place, have I? Just locating the slides, sorry. I've put the slides in the wrong place. Just wondering what we should do. Here we go. We'll go with this. Okay, we're in the right place and we're ready to go. So thank you for having me here again today. Over the next 2 weeks, we'll be looking at Psalm 8 and Genesis 3 as celebrating God's good creation and ignoring our Creator. And as part of looking at these passages, I would like us to consider how we view and how we read Scripture, because how we view it and how we read it makes us, it changes us. And how we view it is how we read it. But also when we read it, deeply read it, it should change how we view it. And Scripture in turn should change us. Now, some people view Scripture as a book of rules in which we will be weighed. Others view it through rosy glasses. Some people as a history textbook full of facts, and others consider it parts of it as myth and legend. And some people don't consider what they are reading, rather treating it as a daily task to tick off a list. All these views shape our reading, because how we view it is how we read it. And as a result, we can end up doing what Dory does. Not to swim, but rather to skim. Just keep skimming, skimming, skimming. Just keep skimming all day long. Now, for those who don't know Dory, she's one of the characters in the Disney Pixar movies. First in Finding Nemo, and then the sequel, Finding Dory. And today, Dory will help us navigate Psalm 8 in Finding Ori. Today's sermon, celebrating God's good creation, has four headings rhyming with Ori. And they're on the service sheet if you need to look at them there. The first one is Glory of God. It is good. The second one with Dory, they're a little bit confused. Glory of Man, Puzzle Within. And then, of course, you love my puns, don't you? His Story. History, His Story, In Time and For All Time. And then Restory in Recreation, Puzzle Resolved. Okay, well, as we get into it, the thing to think about too is the Book of Psalms is a collection of 150 poems, and so it's best to read it as poetry. And the purpose of a poem is primarily to cause us to stop, to dwell, consider, and reflect. A poem does this by using images, words, and poetic techniques that resonate with us, but also items that may not resonate, that may appear disjunctive. Poetry provides a frame for our thinking to explore and discover a truth within, rather than just tell us a truth. And as a result, we ponder on what the poet has described to us. And this may mean that we all read this psalm gaining different insights, which we can then all share. So today I want to share with you how I have read it, how it has stopped me, has caused me to stop, to dwell, consider, and reflect. So let's commence with our first heading, Glory to God, it is good. Now the first thing we notice about Psalm 8 is the refrain. It is the repeated phrase that is used in the first and last verse. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The refrain frames the psalm. It's designed to reinforce the message regarding God's majesty. But to what aspect of God's majesty is the psalmist referring? That is when we look at within this frame to notice the words, particularly ones that cause resonance. Now, resonance is the way a tuning fork works. When one tuning fork is vibrating and is brought near to a similar one, what happens? They both start resonating together in unison. So I wonder if you had a similar resonance when Psalm 8 was read by Kay, particularly with a passage from last week, from Genesis 1, the creation narrative in relation to verses 5 to 8. The psalm correlates with days 5 and 6 in Genesis 1, where the fish, then the birds are created in day 5, and then the land animals and mankind on day 6. And just as God says in Genesis 1, Dori says, and it is good. Interestingly, the order that the psalm uses is the reverse order of creation, most likely because God establishes man to rule over the works of his hands in verse 6, over all the living creatures, the creation of the earth. But the creation on earth is not the limit of the psalmist's thoughts. In verse 3, the psalmist considers the heavens, the vastness of God's creation. And Dori says, and it is good. We also see this in his use of poetic devices called a merismus. Now, a merismus simply means the two extremes. In doing so, it includes everything that's in between. The repeated use of this device shows the extent and the vastness of God's good creation. Now, we see this effect in verse 1 when it refers to both the heaven and earth. We see it in verse 3 when he refers to moon and stars. And even in verse 6, the reference to God's hands and humanity's feet. Furthermore, even in this vastness of creation that is our universe, we see a creator who engages with his creation with mindful care. Notice the detail in God's mindful care in verse 3 as he makes the starry hosts. He's not making snowballs. When you make a snowball, you quickly compact snow together. with your hands. But here, God's creation is the work of his fingers. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place. After the works of his fingers, he actually then sets each of those hosts, starry hosts, in place. It shows God's care over creation. So in the vast extent of creation, God has shown vast care in creation over all the details, over all the small things. Then after considering in verse 3 the extent of God's creation with the extent of his care, the psalmist now ponders upon the very focus of creation, mankind. The psalmist's questions in verses 4 and 5 are deliberately located in the centre of the psalm. Yet, when we start to consider the question posed, it appears not to resonate with the rest of the psalm and God's mindful care. What is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? And Dory says, oh, is it now not good? The psalmist questions whether God should have mindful care for mankind. Yet there is a disjuncture for us because mankind is the focus of creation. But this psalm is written after creation, after the fall, and it brings us to our next heading, glory of man, puzzle within. So within this psalm we see a man as an integral part of God's creation. And while the picture is clear, the puzzle piece doesn't quite seem to fit where we expect it should. So we reread the psalm to consider mankind. And we notice firstly that if this is a psalm purely about creation, verse 2 appears somewhat out of place. And being at the beginning of the psalm, it should be there to introduce the psalm. But listen to the words starting halfway through verse 1. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. Notice the image of children and infants against the foe and the avenger is not a merismus, it's a contrast. It's not dealing with the extent of creation, rather the conflict in creation. And this conflict is a contrast between infants and enemies, between the weak and vulnerable against the strong and fearsome. It certainly does not create an image of creation harmony. Verse 2 appears out of place. And then there is the disjuncture in verse 6, where it says, you made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet. When it says you made him ruler, we can think it means you created him, especially in a psalm about creation. But the meaning is more specific here. You appointed him ruler over the works of your hands. And that's reinforced by the following line, you put everything under his feet. However, we know in Genesis 3, after the fall, which we'll look at next week, everything is not under man's control. Far from it. Man was unappointed from the Garden of Eden. Since the fall, when sin entered the world has been in disorder. It is out of order. So there's a puzzle within the psalm about man with his praise for God's good creation. Man appears both out of place and out of order. And there is a reference to man and then this son of man in verse 4. And it's worth taking a closer look. because in the Hebrew, two different words are used for man here. The first means man, and the second also means man, but directly translated is Adam. Adam. The very first man. When this psalm was written by King David, there is no understanding of this son of Adam. So for a Jew back in the day when the psalm was written for the original audience, they would be wondering, who is this son of Adam? What is his story with Psalm 8? Which leads us to our next heading, his story in time and for all time. Now, we have a puzzle to resolve. And the way we'll approach it is to consider how it would have been read through history until we get to his story. So we'll undertake three readings. The first two will be in time of writing, and in the time of Daniel. And then on the other side of the cross, in the New Testament, this is where the Son of Adam is revealed for all time. Now, in the time of writing, it would have been the earliest use of the phrase, the Son of Adam. So they would have scoured the previously written Torah to uncover the identity of this Son of Adam. And they would have seen Genesis 4:25. And it reads there, Adam made love to his wife again, and she gave birth to a son and named him Seth, saying, God has granted me another child in place of Abel, their first son, since Cain killed him, their second son. So the remaining son there is Seth. So then they would have seen Seth as the most likely candidate for this son of Adam. But there's a problem. He does not have everything under his feet, and the world remains out of order. Then, in the time of Daniel, Daniel was in exile in Babylon, awaiting the re-establishment of the kingdom of Israel. And he received a number of prophecies, which included this from Daniel 7, verses 13 and 14. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. And his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Rather than looking backward in time, this now starts us looking forward in time. In the time of Daniel, people understood the son of Adam to be the coming Messiah. And now the psalm is more than poetry, it's prophecy. So the world then remained out of order, especially with God's people removed from the promised land of Israel and under the Babylonian Empire. But the Jews longed for the Messiah, the king, and his kingdom, which they interpreted as restoring the kingdom of Israel to the glory during the time of King David's reign, with the enemies being their human oppressors. Then things would be back in order. But they misread the scriptures. They skimmed over the scripture, reading scripture through their own lens, their own situation, and interpreting accordingly. Rather than allowing scripture to inform them of God's plan and desire, they were seeing God fulfill their own plans and desires. And so when Jesus came, they did not identify him as the promised Messiah because he did not fulfill their vision of restoring the glory of Israel and ruling over their human oppressors, who by then were the Roman Empire and everyone who was not one of them, called Gentiles. I think at times we too can just keep skimming, reading scripture as fulfilling our own personal plans, interpreting through our own lens on how we think God should work for us, rather than allowing scripture to inform us about God's plan and how God works within us. So when Jesus comes, the Jews don't acknowledge him as the Son of Man, the Messiah, because he does not vanquish the Gentiles. Hence, when Jesus is revealed as Messiah in the New Testament, is a revelation regarding the Old Testament scriptures, including Psalm 8. And now we read the psalm with this in mind, because the New Testament helps us solve the puzzles in the Old Testament, because it is not man who is in control, rather Jesus. So let's read verse 6 again, where it talks about this son of Adam. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet. I wonder if this verse resonated with you. Maybe a passage in the New Testament. Last year, our sermon series covered the book of Ephesians. Let's read again from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. And he put everything under his feet and appointed him as head over everything. Wow, there it is. The New Testament explains the Old Testament. And it puts Jesus right in the frame. So for all time, this son of Adam is revealed to be Jesus. But not to restore the Jews above the Gentiles, rather to provide the pathway to restore all mankind within God's good creation, to start the process of putting everything back in order. So let's recap what we've considered with Psalm 8. Firstly, there was a puzzle of man and his place in celebrating God's good creation. The picture was right regarding man's place, but man as part of or piece in God's good creation no longer seemed to fit properly. This was due to the fall, which we'll consider next week in Genesis 3. The world was out of order. Secondly, we considered who is this son of Adam through history, both in time and for all time, where it was revealed as Jesus being the son of Adam. It is his story for all mankind. Jesus is the missing puzzle piece in the psalm. He's the one who brings the world back in order. And so we see that while we search for ourselves and our place in creation, it remains out of order in Psalm 8. But whether it's finding ourselves, or finding Nemo, or finding Dory, and even our sermon structure concerning finding Ori, it's really about finding Jesus. He's the one who will make everything right and back in order. And Dory asks, is everything good again? Yes, it is, Dory. Because Jesus is the restory in recreation, which moves us to our final heading, restory in recreation. When we return back to the psalm itself, and then the central question there is what the psalmist asks of God. And in the process, he also invites us to consider, in light of the vastness of God's creation, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? Why would God care for man when he disobeyed at the fall, placing his good creation into disorder and out of order? And then, why does God care for the Son of Man, Jesus, when all of our sins are poured out onto him at the cross? Because of God's love for his Son and his love for us. God's salvation story is one of restoring us back within his creation order through the death and resurrection of Jesus. And through believing and giving our lives over to Jesus, we are reborn, not of flesh, in spirit. So we are recreated in Christ and look forward to the new creation when everything is finally brought under Christ and back in order, just as God established at the creation of the world, restoring in recreation. So does the Son of Adam puzzle piece now resolve the puzzle in Psalm 8? We return to the disjunctive contrast in verse 2 between the infants and the enemies, between the lion and the lamb. In a psalm about creation, this verse is at the beginning, being at the beginning, seemed out of place. When the Israelites read this from their perspective, the enemies were those who were not Israelites. They were Gentiles, that is the rest of mankind. But within God's plan, the foe is sin, and the avenger is Satan. And the power that man possesses over these enemies is not from his own power, yet from our lips and mouths, even that of weak and vulnerable children and infants, so much so that it silences the enemies. And what is it that is on their lips? And this brings us back to the refrain, where the capitalized word Lord refers to God, and our Lord, who is Jesus. Our Lord, well, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. What is on the lips of the weak is your name in all the earth, the name of Jesus. When we pray in the name of Jesus, because Jesus' name is mighty to save. And it is at the name of Jesus that every knee shall bow. Psalm 8 celebrates God's good creation and within considers fallen man. Yet the Son of Adam restores man, and so we may also become part of God's good recreation. We read and view God's plan for his good creation and recreation, not by skimming through Psalm 8, rather to stop, dwell, consider and reflect. And in the process, celebrate God's good creation and recreation in the name above all names, Jesus. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Let me pray. Father God, thank you that your good creation is not limited by us. And that even though we are so small and significant in the vastness of this universe, that you have mindful care over us. So much so that you sent your own Son, Jesus, to die for us, and that through Jesus we can be restored back within your creation order. We who believe in your Son have been recreated by your Spirit, and we now bear his image. Help us to live as Christ within this world as we look forward to the coming fulfillment when everything will be placed back in order under Christ. And we look forward to continuing to glorify your name for your good creation. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Amen.
Just a quick recap. Yeah. In reverse. Okay. Thank you for your patience. Right. We're going to sing All People That on Earth Do Dwell, quite appropriate, I think. So please stand and join in this song of praise.
All
Sit down. I'll start us off in prayer and then Rosemary will continue to pray for our world, our community and nation. Although we are the people of God, Scripture reminds us that we still sin. We need to confess our failures, knowing that the Lord Jesus died for us and intercedes for us with the Father. Let us draw near to God who freely forgives through his infinite goodness and mercy, and pray to him with sincerity and confidence together. Heavenly Father, we praise you for adopting us as your children and making us heirs of eternal life. In your mercy, you have washed us from our sins and made us clean in your sight. Yet we still fail to love you and serve you as we should. Forgive us our sins and renew us by your grace, that we may continue to grow as members of Christ, in whom alone is our salvation. Amen. God is slow to anger and full of compassion. He forgives all who humbly repent and turn to his Son, Jesus Christ, in whom there is no condemnation. Amen. We'll now join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Psalm 103, verse 17 says, "But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you that the earth is filled with your love. You have made us an amazing creation, but sometimes it's difficult to see this love because of the evil and difficulties that we see and face. Help us to look for your love, to see it and be filled with it. Help us to walk in your commands, to love your word and to live by it. To walk in your ways is a path to life for us and our families. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you that you dwell within us and that you are working in our lives. Help us to see the Holy Spirit more clearly, to recognize the Spirit's movement in us. Help us to walk in you, the Spirit. Help us to grow good fruit in our lives, for you are the one who produces in us love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And we ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful nation, Australia, abounding in its riches, in its resources and freedom. Thank you for those who brought your word to this land. May it stand firm forever over the people of our nation. We pray that you will help us to be a blessing to those around us. Help us to stand against injustice, immorality, greed and selfishness. We pray for our leaders in local, state and federal government. We pray for our Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese. We pray for our Premier, Dominic Perrottet. And we particularly pray for the Mayor and Deputy Mayor of our Canada Bay Council, Angelo Zurikas and Stephanie Di Pasqua. And we pray for all council members. May truth guide them all in their ways. May they make right decisions for the benefit of all the people they serve. And we ask this in your name. Amen. We particularly pray today for those in Turkey and Iran who are affected by the earthquake. Have mercy on their land and its peoples. We pray that you will guide and bless those who are assisting those whose livelihoods are threatened by diminishing hope of finding loved ones, for those who have no homes left, for those who have no food or shelter. We pray for those who are in the search and rescue teams. We thank you that they are giving of their time and resources to help those in need. We pray for those people in other lands who are mourning the death of loved ones and who are still waiting to hear hopeful news. We pray that you will have mercy on them all, O Lord. Help us to remember them in our prayers and actions. And we ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Today we pray for our church families. We thank you for the children and we thank you for their parents. We thank you for their love and enthusiasm to come and learn about you. We pray that you will carry each one of them, be their shepherd and their guide through life. We especially pray today for our SRE teachers. We pray for Fiona and Trevor. Almighty God, who commanded us to love you with all our mind, look with your gracious favour, we pray, on the teaching of special religious education in our two local schools, Russell Lee and Abbotsford. We pray for those who teach. We pray for those who teach from other congregations in this area. And upon all
Anglican school chaplains in Anglican schools in Sydney. May the children hear your word, enjoy their lessons, and grow in their relationship with you. Amen. And we praise you, O God, for all those who are new among us. Help us to love and support them so they too may feel a part of your congregation here at Abbotsford Anglican. We pray that they will feel loved and cared for, knowing that Jesus loves them very much and is always with them. We pray for Trevor as he attends the chaplain's course down in Canberra. We pray for the decisions made by our parish council, our congregation members, so that we may be all of one heart and of one mind, united in one holy bond of truth and peace, of faith and charity, so that your gospel may be heard and your name be glorified. And this we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, all good things come from you. Throughout this week, we pray that you will help us to hear your word, that we may know and speak the truth, and to obey your word, that we may honour you in all we do. Deliver us from all that is false, and renew us by your Spirit, that we may know life in all its fullness. Hear our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And will you join me in today's set prayer? God of power and life, glory of all who believe in you, fill the world with your splendour and show the nations the light of your truth. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Okay. Thank you to start with for your generous giving each week. We do have an online offering capacity as well. But we'll start with Rosemary sharing about a conference that's coming up.
Ladies, this is the first event, actually second, because we had one yesterday. Who enjoyed the party yesterday? We had a great time. It was absolutely wonderful. Oh, if you haven't picked up a women's ministry brochure for this year, they're on the back table, and that will give you inside a list of all the activities that we have planned for this year for women's ministry. So grab one of those off the back table. But this is our first event in March. It's on the 18th of March. Registrations are now open for the SMBC or Croydon Bible College Women's Conference. And there'll be a group of us going by car over to there. So the information's on the back table so that you can have a little bit more of a read about it, of what is involved. If you need assistance in registering online, just let me know and we can do that for you. And hopefully you can all come along. It will be a great refreshing time. And the Portuguese tarts they provide are to die for. So come along. It'll be great.
Hey, men, you've got a fun day coming up. Lawn bowls. I don't know if it doesn't sound like it's barefoot, sadly, but anyway, that's going to cost you $10. It's on Saturday, the 4th of March, between 10 and 12 noon. And there's, again, a sheet at the back table. You can sign up if you're interested in that, gentlemen. Okay. If you would especially like someone to pray for you today, Coral and Jeff will wait for you at the front of the church here after the service. And it's appreciated that you're being mindful of the ongoing COVID presence in the community by socially distancing and choosing to wear a mask if you choose to. That's fine. Once you've collected your tea and coffee and a biscuit packet, please move quickly to the shade outside to share in fellowship with each other. Now, just a little extra that we've added in here. It would also be helpful if you were to keep your name tags on during this time, so those of us who find names hard to remember can be reminded and prompted. And then you can leave them at the front door as you're leaving, or you can bring it back inside to the table where you collected it when you came in, either way. But it just makes it easier for all of us to actually try and remember your names, because I don't know, for me, it's terribly hard. Took me about 2 years to work out all the people in this church. So I'm a bit slow on names. So that would be wonderful if you could consider that. Okay. Our sentence of scripture for today is O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. We're going to stand now and confirm what we believe. So if you wouldn't mind standing. Do you believe in God the Father? We believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in God the Son? We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. Now, we are going to sing our final song, so you might as well stay standing if that suits you. We have been reminded over the past few weeks of the great power of God in all his creation. Let's stand and join together in praising God for all he is and all he has done, especially through his Son, with our final song, Worthy of All Praise.
Wonderfully bought us.
Join together in the grace. Father, take us and use us to love and serve you and all people in the power of your Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
See you outside.